Before I go any further with the teaching portion of our service, I want to take an opportunity to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the invitation to come here and be with you this last few days. My friends that have come with me and I, we've enjoyed our time with you very much. Your generosity, your love, your hospitality, your warm welcome has meant a lot. Lindell has worked us like rented mules, but we've enjoyed that. I knew that was coming. That's what we like. Sister Joyce has taken excellent care of us. I appreciate that very much. I want to tell you, they probably know this, but I tell everybody where I go, preachers are like stray dogs. You feed them once, they keep showing up on the porch. And so you fast. And I know where to come again, and I hope I get to someday, whether it's for meeting or passing through or whatever. I really enjoyed our time here together. It is my sincere and earnest desire that our studies have been spiritually helpful for you. That's all I want. If we can study something that helps you from wherever you're at in life draw closer to God, then my prayer has been answered. That's what we hope. I want to talk to you a little while tonight about the seasons of life. It's a different kind of lesson than the ones we've had earlier in the week, but I feel like it might be an appropriate type of study we can use to bring this meeting to a conclusion. So I hope that with those words I can draw you in and ask you to think about the different seasons of life, the changing seasons of life. You know, if you're not very advanced in years, or if you've been walking this earth for quite a long time, you can look back across your life and really think about things you'll recognize that we've all undergone a lot of radical changes in our circumstances and in our lives. Wherever you're at today, things are really, really different than they've been before. And they're going to keep on changing until it comes our time to quit this walk among men. And we read a passage that talks to us about the different kind of changes that happen in life in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses. The wise man said, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plan and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. There are a lot of different times in life for different things, different seasons, different changes, different events, different circumstances. And with each changing season of life comes a whole new set of challenges. When a little baby first learns to crawl, a whole new world breaks on their view. A whole new set of choices confronts them. Don't play in the furnace. Don't mess with mom and dad's things. Leave the computer alone. Don't mess with the TV. And because they're able to crawl now, all of a sudden those choices are right there in front of them, and they have to deal with them. And then when they learn to walk, a whole other set of choices comes before them. It's a wonderful new stage. It's a wonderful new point of development and growth. And things have totally and radically changed. And you go see somebody that has a baby that's just cradling mama's arm, and you go back a few months later and see that baby up running around, and you think, I cannot believe how radically that child has changed. And life has changed radically for that little baby. And then they learn to talk. And there comes a whole new set of choices, like don't sass mama. Don't start off with dad. And don't say ugly things. Say please and say thank you. You see, with each new stage of development comes a new stage of choices. With each changing season comes new challenges. And then they're going to school and they're growing and on, as we'll study this evening, these different stages of life. And every one with its new challenges and its new set of choices that we must make. But somewhere along the way, you back up and you eyeball it all and you think, you know what? There's a strange sameness to all of this. From the time I could crawl to the time that I could walk until the time that I could talk until the time that I learned other new things and gained other new freedoms, with each radical change, there was the same set of circumstances, and that is I have to answer to my authorities and do the right thing. And as many changes as come our way in life, and they're coming and they're radical, that one thing never really changed. Let's think about it. You think about that childhood, that time of innocence that we studied about Sunday morning, which we'll revisit here momentarily. You think about a period of time where that young person hits a point in their life where they are accountable before God for the things that they do. And then there's this time of youth where they pass accountability, but there's still a sense of being young. And a lot of new problems, a lot of new choices come their way. And then you hit that early adulthood and another set of choices come along. And a lot of times for a lot of people, marriage and family comes into view. And I know that not everybody's life carries them on this course, but a lot of people face this sort of thing. And so it's appropriate for us to think about early adulthood with marriage. And then along comes parenting. For those who choose to be married and choose to have a family or are able to have children, comes that blessing and yet a whole new set of responsibilities. And with that, this whole new awakening of, wow, how life has changed. And yet somewhere in the back of your mind, you've got to start figuring out that it's really the same as it's always been. My responsibilities continue to seem similar in some strange way. You go on from early parenthood into the middle years of life until you finally advance to those senior years.
Well, I know not everybody makes it. Some people die in their youth. And some people go on to those advanced years of life. And you might be wondering where the breaking point is on those lines. I don't know what to tell you. Some people get old quicker. I do know this. You may be 25 years old in the 11th hour of your life. You might be near the end today and not realize it. We don't know. What we do know is the typical spans of a typical human life can often touch all of these stages. And so those are the stages that we want to study together.
You think about that early life and that time of innocence. That period of childhood. We read about this earlier during our meeting in Matthew 19 and 14. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." In this and other passages, Jesus speaks of little children as though they're innocent. They're not fully accountable before God. And yet there is a sense of accountability. Because Ephesians 6 verse 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Though there are a lot of things about right and wrong that little one is not capable of understanding, there's one thing they can learn rather quickly. Whether or not they do might be a different story, but they can learn rather quickly they're supposed to do what mom and dad say. So on the one hand, even though things are really different here than they will be in years to come, yet there's a similarity between here and years to come. Once you've trucked on down life road and got down that road a ways and hit some of those latter stages, I'm kind of bumping some of those latter stages now. I'm not as advanced as some of you, but I mean, I'm getting down the road. You look back on childhood and you crave those carefree days, don't you? Not always, but sometimes you do. Hey, I can remember how neat it was to wake up and not wonder whether or not the bills are going to get paid. I didn't think about whether or not we were going to be able to buy groceries. We just always went to the store and bought groceries. It would occur to me that the pain and the labor and the trouble that the parents were going through to make sure all that happened, make
sure the heat stayed on and the fan blew during the summertime and the fridge and the cabinet had some groceries in it. I knew we planted a garden. I knew we raised chickens and calves. I knew we had chores to do and all that stuff. But it didn't occur to me that there was a connection between all of that and whether or not we ate. It wasn't for lack of my dad pounding on our heads with a sledgehammer trying to get that into our thick heads that, hey guys, you need to get out there and do your chores because that affects whether or not we eat. I mean, that lesson eventually got through, but there's this time in your life that you don't wear those concerns.
You just wonder when you're going to get to leave your chores and go play outside. It's a carefree time.
A time that seems free and void of responsibility, and yet there is this one responsibility that says there are authority figures in your life that you have to respect and obey them.
You can think about this from the perspective of a child, but especially we as parents must think about this. During this stage, we're teaching our children about their relationship with God.
In learning to submit to the authority that's right there before them with their parents, they're learning the humility and the obedience and the respect that they will have to bear before their Father in heaven. And if we don't take that opportunity to mold their young minds at that point with the notion that you've got to submit to authority in life, that's going to make things much more difficult later in life when they are accountable and they do have to answer to that higher authority in heaven. For now, they may be innocent in the sight of God, but the time will come soon enough that in His view, they lose that innocence. And things change radically. And all of a sudden, they are responsible for having to get those bills paid. And they are responsible for getting the food acquired and all those other worries that gradually come upon us as we get older.
With that accountability, you see, comes the knowledge of right and wrong. We learn about that accountability in Deuteronomy 1 and 39, where he talked about their little ones, which he said would be a prey, your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. They shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. God talked about their children not knowing between good and evil. But children reach a time where they learn right from wrong. They learn the difference between good and evil. And as parents, we have to usher them from that accountability to the parents up until that time that they are accountable to God.
I don't know if they were right or not. I'm just going to tell you what Mom and Dad always told us. You're going to win or lose that war any time next week. Or whatever that's worth. I do believe that we can take this proof from what they said. We as parents have to take our children and guide them to learn that principle of respect and obedience. And we've got to get that done before they become accountable before God, whatever that is. So I guess we better start fighting early and fight hard because it's a two-fisted fight. And I want to tell you something. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Parents, we're fighting the devil for the souls of our children. If that isn't a sobering fight, I don't know what it takes to get our attention. Now, I know we've got God's help. And I know we've got God's Word. And I know we're not alone in this fight, but we've got to join the fight. The Bible's not going to jump off the shelf and crawl inside our kids here, okay? We've got to jump in and participate. God's there to help us, but we've got to join the fight. Because accountability is coming. Romans 7 verse 9 says, I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. We studied that passage Sunday morning, didn't we? Paul had a time in his life where he was little. He didn't know right from wrong. He was like those Israelite people in Deuteronomy 1, 39, those little kids that didn't know right from wrong. But once he came to understand right from wrong, the commandment came, sin revived in his heart, and he died. He became spiritually guilty before God and spiritually dead. That knowing right from wrong, that awakening of the mind, that awareness of guilt, that has some things about it that's neat because you get to make more choices. You get more freedoms. With this growing maturity comes growing freedoms. Yet at the same time, there's this growing duty and growing responsibility. And whatever more we learn, for that much more we answer before God.
And there are times that the young will look on this period of time with envy. You know, little kids always want to be older. Those that are a little older want to be, they think the old ones are cool. And those ones, they think the old ones are cool. And they think that the young adults that just got married are cool. Somewhere along the way, I'm not sure where, to quit being cool, but everybody wants to get older until you get up to a certain point. Then everybody wants to get younger, don't we? Well, that sense of envy and youth that wants to be older, that's about wanting more freedom, wanting more responsibilities. And it needs to be said now what has been said often by authority figures in our lives, and what hopefully we've said to those that are around us, with more freedom to choose comes more responsibility what to choose. If you want grown up freedom, you better get ready and better grown up responsibilities. You don't talk about wanting grown up freedoms until you're ready for grown up responsibilities. I remember having that talk a whole lot about her. That's an important concept.
Because once we come to understand right and wrong, and we have more freedom to choose and do, we bear the responsibilities of those. And so, as that time breaks upon an individual, that sense of duty to parents gradually shifts towards God.
That duty to obey and be respectful and all. They're learning in their little years about what they've got to remember all their lives. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, it sums the lesson up like this. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
He says, you remember your Creator while you're young, because evil days are coming and you're going to get distracted by sin, and then you'll think, I don't have any pleasure in serving God. I'm going to do this other stuff. That happens to a lot of people. We need to take this counsel to heart. Somebody says, but I'm not young anymore. But we have young people that are under our care or under our influence. I passed this time a long time ago. A lot of you have too. But we have a responsibility to encourage the little ones around us. Remember now thy Creator, the days of thy youth.
We always want to encourage the young to start early with a heart that wants to serve God, please God, do the right thing. That's what Solomon said under the direction of the Spirit, and that's what we should do. As accountability becomes a reality for that young person needs to be remembering God and thinking about God. That mantle of leadership slowly shifts from parents to God. And though things in some ways have become much more complicated, in another way it still boils down to the simple principle, do what the authority figure in your life tells you to do.
Comes youth. You define it at whatever age you want to define it, but I'm thinking about young years where you're older, you're accountable, you answer, you know right from wrong, but you're, you know, not fully grown up yet. Do you want to think of the college years? I'll tell you a lot of what I want to talk to you about are things that we face in our college years.
I'll tell you, I didn't think I particularly grew up sheltered. I mean, my folks talk to us a lot about sin and what things are going on out there in the world, and they warn us about those things like parents will do. But, man, when I got off to college and moved into the dorms, that was an eye-opening experience. I mean, they do a lot of stuff when they get out of school to get away from mom and dad, and it ain't all pretty. People come in from the bar, slobbering off and drunk, and they come in bleeding out their ears because they got the snot beat out of them, and they come out with a girl under each arm. I mean, they're just putting a lot of things we didn't do back home. Because the watchful eyes of the parents is up there saying, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that. It's a different world. And you face a lot of things at that stage in your life. You've got to be prepared for that.
That time of youth, well, Paul said,
said it like this in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, charity and spirit and faith and purity." I'm going to tell you, I know I get a little crusty and I get a little passionate about something, so just hang on. I'm going to tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash. When we talk about, well, they're young, they got to sow their wild oats. That's a bunch of hogwash. If we expect our children to go out and sow wild oats, guess what they're going to do? What did Paul tell Timothy he was bound to do as a young Christian? He said, you're to go out there and be an example of a believer. Oh, but he's too young. Don't put that on his shoulders. That's not what the Holy Spirit told Paul to write. The Holy Spirit told Paul to set before Timothy a high level of expectations. The Holy Spirit guided the Apostle Paul to hold up to Timothy a high level of demands. The Holy Spirit guided the Paul to take young tender Timothy and demand excellence. God forbid we do anything less with our God. That young person going out in the world has an obligation to be an exemplary believer in their dealings with the Word, in their conduct or conversation or manner of life, in the way that they love their fellow man, in their spirit, in their faith, in their moral purity. Need to go sow their wild oats with a little moral impurity? Hogwash. They need to go out there and be an exemplary Christian. God help us to train them to do that while they're still under our guidance at home. And God help them to learn better should they forget that guidance we give them at home. So as a young person, don't think that, well, this is my time to go out and mess up. No, this is your time to go out and set some good habits now that will be a part of who you are for the rest of your life. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul warned Timothy with these words, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." He told him to flee youthful lust. You know, there are certain habits and manners and customs and things that are lustful, sinful things to do that is just more common amongst the younger folks, that as people get a little older, that, you know, the desires to do those things fade and they finally kind of forget about it. You know, they move on and settle down as they get a little older. You know what I'm talking about. What Paul tell Timothy to do? He said, you run from those lusts and desires that are typical of the youthful. What you need to do as a young Christian is you need to go out in the world and you need to build good habits now. Because if you go out in the world and build bad habits now, sow wild oats now, you'll spend the rest of your life fighting those habits. Why cause those kind of problems for yourself? We need to wake up, don't we? We need to wake up and expect the same excellence from young Christians that the Lord expects from young Christians in the Scriptures. Early adulthood, I'm talking about that time where often the younger couple comes to the point of marriage. God talked to Adam about that stage of life, and in Genesis 2, verse 18 through 24, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her into the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God made us social creatures. He made us to need companionship. And I know we enjoy companionship of our pets, but what Adam experienced was
good as that was, it wasn't exactly what he needed. What he really needed was family. Thank God for family. So he says, Adam, here's your wife. And here's the pattern. The person shall leave father and mother and cleave to their spouse. All those problems mom and dad used to solve that you never knew anything about. But they took care of all those boys. All those problems, guess who they are now? They're yours. When is an appropriate age for marriage? When is an appropriate time to begin that journey in life? I don't believe the Bible spells out any specific age. I suspect if we would quiz every mature Christian here tonight, if you just thought about that and dealt with that question in their life, they would say, well, it depends on the individual and how mature they are. Some are ready for it earlier in life and others aren't quite so ready. I take what we've told our kids, our youngest daughter, and the man that she's now married to, when they came to us at age 18 to 19 and said, we want to get married, I told him, you're not old enough, but the only way to fix that is get married, and about 5 years later, then you'll be old enough to get married. You are short in our lives. There's a lot of other things I could have said, maybe I felt like saying, but we felt like the wisest thing to do was to encourage them to do the right thing, be married, have a family, and we'll guide and support you. Because we recognize that God made them to need companionship just as much as God made the wife and I to need companionship. We were a little bit older when we got married, but as far as maturity is concerned, I'm not sure we were any more mature. You know, sometimes the age of the tree ain't about how many rings you can count when you cut it in half. Sometimes it's about how strong that tree is when the wind blows. You understand what I'm saying? It's not always about the years, it's about the maturity. And that's that way, because when you reach this stage in life, it's like a lot of old boys have realized, you know, when you're young and you're single and you're running around, if you don't have a place you call home, big deal. I lived out of my car a lot. I didn't care. I know there was others who looked at me and wagged their head and said, well, the poor pitiful boy don't have a place to call home. I thought everybody's place was not home. I didn't know any better. You get a wife, all of a sudden you're saying, you don't work. This ain't gonna work. I gotta take care of this. I'm responsible. Things have changed. This ain't like it was back when I first started going to school and mom and dad took up care of all the problems. Now I gotta take care of them. I got a wake up call 6 months into our marriage. My wife was in the hospital getting her arm blown. I didn't know what to make Sarah do other than pray God please help her. I went there when they brought her in on that operating table. I was stunned. I was in shock. Welcome to the adult world. Now I've got a big hospital bill, and guess who gets to pay it? Yet somehow, the responsibility is the same as always been. You're what your father said. Now, it was my father in heaven. My father in heaven taught principles in his word that said, when you find yourself go to work, pay your bills, be responsible, be frugal, be wise, etc., etc. That's what you got to go do. There ain't time to sit around and pout about it and yearn for the days of freedom, the days of yore, where you can do what you wanted. You be the grown person that you thought you were, and you recognize that with more freedoms to choose comes responsibility for those choices. And you remember this principle about your family. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. If you're not structuring your family life after the directions and instructions from the Lord, you're spitting in the breeze. It goes all the way back to that simple formula that's been there since you started to crawl. You've got to do what your authority figure says. And as complicated as life has become by this point in time, in another way, it's so elegantly simple. Do what the Father says. Build your house construct your family around the guidance from God, and you can spiritually succeed. Then comes parenthood. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, "Your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Parenthood. I do not understand people that run from it. I do not understand these girls we read about in the newspapers that take their baby and throw it in the dumpster. I can't. That makes no sense to me. I do not understand a so-called man that sires a child and turns to vapor and breeze and is nowhere to be found. I don't understand that. I can't understand not taking responsibility for this that is yours. What I can understand is that the devil is going about as a roaring lion seeking when he may devour. While our children were young and calm and under our care, I was responsible as a father to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I'll tell you, a lot more than just a few times, I would slip in the girl's bedroom when they were babies and when they were young and just stand there in the dark and watch them sleep. In my view, they were just like an innocent little lamb. And that was a beautiful picture on the one hand because of the innocence that you see. But I stood there, I don't know how long it felt like an eternity as I was thinking about things. I stood there thinking not of the innocence of that beautiful imagery that was before my eyes, but of the terror of this lamb's vulnerability before that vicious lion. Parents, we've got to wake up. The devil doesn't love the baby like you do. The devil wants your child to rot in hell forever. We need to get that wake-up call. And we need to embrace parenthood seriously. If you're big enough to make it, you better be big enough to raise it. You can run from this before men, but you won't run from it on Judgment Day. God will call us to account. Are we connected on this deal? This is serious business. You've got a soul that's been put in your care. How can you do anything but give that your very best? So if we're thinking right, everything we are becomes poured into this effort to bring this child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And when they want to come in and crawl up in your lap and hear a Bible story, there's no such thing as too tired. There's no such thing as ain't got time. There's no such thing as I've got to read the paper, watch the TV, read a book, talk to my friends. There's nothing but the same thing that answered my worries when I was 10 years old. Do what your authority figure says. Life got really complicated. And you're hearing and seeing new things that blow your mind on a daily basis. And it's challenging you in every way you never thought possible. And yet the answer is still the same as it was when life seemed so simple. Just do what your authority figure says. Bring that child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. From parenthood, you go into those, I'm labeling them the middle years. Your kids are grown, or almost grown. Maybe they've all moved out. You don't feel like you're old yet, but that, you know, you're somewhere in there. And things have changed. Again, there's an empty nest, and that's offered you new challenges that you're really not sure what you're going to do with. When Paul talked about the spiritual maturing of the church, he used the natural maturity of a man to illustrate the spiritual maturing of the church. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now he's saying that to illustrate how the church had to mature out of a miraculous age into an age where we're led by the written Word of God. There's a lot more that could be said about that from that context, but I want to just leave that thought with you as we consider what is his illustration. His illustration is sometimes the boys, it's just got to grow up. Sometimes the little girl just has to grow up. It's time to put away childish things and spiritually mature. We reach a point in life, you got to back up and look up and say, hey, am I really grown any? Because I'm supposed to.
Ecclesiastes 4:13 says, better the poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who no more be admonished.
How many times have we seen or been that person in those middle years we arrogantly thought we had all the answers and we weren't willing to learn from somebody else, young or old?
Don't be that old and foolish king that thinks they're back learning something new.
It's better to be a poor and wise child who's always seeking to learn more. I'm going to tell you something. You can learn from others. My wife and I have young Christians in our home every year, especially during the summer times. And one thing I've seen over and over and over, I can learn from every one of them. God help me, the day should come when I stop learning from them. I don't care if they are young. They've got something to teach. They've got something they've learned. And I need to be humble enough to recognize that and embrace that, and you do too. Somebody said, well, I don't want to hear him talk about thus and such from the Scriptures. He's too young. Listen, if what he's saying is coming from the Scriptures, you better listen. And I better listen too. We don't want to be that person that feels like we're past learning. We're never past learning. We've always got to be hungry. Growing, hungry to learn and yearning to grow. Hebrews 5:12-14 says, no, but this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again. The first principles, the oracles of God, and have come to eat milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He's talking here about some Christians who were stuck in a rut. They weren't growing like they should. And what did he say? Get off high, savor, and grow. You're at a point in your life you ought to be able to help others grow, and somebody's got to come stick a bottle in your mouth and try to bring you out of spiritual babyhood into spiritual maturity. There's no call for that. We've got to build ourselves up to the solid food, the meat of the Word, and grow and come to discern right from wrong. Be that person of full spiritual maturity, of full age. How do we get there? By reason of use. We study the Word and we apply it to our lives. And the more we do that, the more we grow. That's where we need to be headed during these middle years. And then come the senior years. I've heard a lot of people who would confess they were in the senior years say, I don't know why they call them the golden years, because there's nothing golden about them. I've got new pains and new aches and places that I didn't know I had. And I don't have any more gold left, so what's golden about these years? Well, I don't know why. I'm not there yet. I guess if I don't die in the next few years, I'm going to get there. So I can't tell you from personal experience, but honestly, I don't need to. Let's talk about it from the Word. What does the Bible say about these years? These senior years are summarized in a very neat nutshell in Proverbs 16:31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. I'm starting to get a little snow on the mountain up here. I've got my white spot right here. Some people ask me about it. I tell them it's my skunk stripe. And they need to be warned. Others, I tell them I got hit by lightning. That's why I'm talking. That's not true. But it makes a good story. I figure one of these days it's going to turn white. Mine's doing about what Dad's did. It's turned white. Fell out. I know one guy said, as you get older, your hair grows roots down into your brain. If it finds something, it turns white. If it doesn't, it turns loose. I'm having both problems. So I know where I stand. Well, I'll tell you this. There's no glory in these silver hairs if they're not walking in the way of righteousness. It doesn't matter how old we are, how much experience we think we've got. It doesn't amount to anything if that's not an experience of serving God. Because as I've gotten older, I've got new pains, and I've got new challenges, and I've got new bills, and life's getting harder every day. I'm reading a paper about another classmate that died. And every little while, I'm getting another phone call about another friend that passed away. And every day, I'm getting faced a little bit more with my own mortality. someday my life on earth is going to end. And it's getting complicated.
And while that person over here in early adulthood and parenthood might be during those childhood years, I think sometimes that person, that senior years, is just like the back of the clock up a few years. Get a little relief.
We understand that's not an option.
Things are just getting more complicated, more difficult. We got to deal with it. What are the answers? As complicated as it might be, the answer is the same as it's always been. Serve God. Submit to your authority.
Whatever station you reach in your senior years, make sure you're found in whatever righteousness. Outside of that, there's no glory in that silver hair.
It's a crown of naught but shame if at that point you're serving sin. So we answer to the authority figure. We do the same thing that's always worked. Serve our Father in heaven.
Throughout all the changing seasons of life, the conclusion remains the same. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all.
This is the whole duty of man. Everything you are has to be poured into this. Fear God and keeping His commandments.
You know, I was taught a lesson from as long ago that I can remember. Do what your daddy said.
And that lesson still works today when we understand it's our Father in heaven that we're talking about now. There are many changing seasons of life. Your life has undergone a lot of changes. I don't care what your age is tonight. Your life has undergone a lot of radical changes, and it's going to keep on happening. But amongst these changes, there is that one sameness. Just do what the Father says. You've heard me say that before, and I have. You might hear it again before I'm done. Do what the Father says. Become a child of God and serve Him faithfully. If we can help you in any way, tonight, we want to do that. If we can assist you in becoming a Christian, or as a Christian, you need the prayer of the church, please come. Have a seat on the front pew.